Good morning. Welcome to our session. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce Rabbi Sean Zell, who drew the invocation. This is in celebration of Rosh Hashanah, and we have invited him to be with us to perform this morning's ceremony. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year festival and commemorates the creation of the world that lasts 2 days. Rosh Hashanah is the Jewish New Year, is a time to begin introspection, looking back at the mistakes of the past year and planning the changes to make in the coming year. Today, on the eve of Rosh Hashanah, I encourage each of you to take this occasion as an opportunity for fellowship and celebration of the Jewish community. Thank you, Rabbi Zell, for being with us. Please rise for the invocation.
Heavenly Father, as we begin the Jewish year this evening at sunset, we make a note of the fact, despite the greeting cards, that the traditional wish to one another is for a good year rather than a happy year. This has an impact on government as well, because good government isn't always happy government. One of the realities, whether it be Dallas or any other city, is that you can't always make everyone happy. But as long as you do a good job, then we know we're on the right path. Amen.
Mr. Kade, could you lead the pledge? Again, good morning, everyone. Madam Secretary, can I turn to you for our speakers this morning?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will first clarify, we did have some individuals sign up to speak on a budget issue. Those individuals will be called all at one time, so we will first proceed with other individuals that are going to speak on other items. So please do not become concerned if your name is not called at the beginning. Your first speaker is going to be Tom Gibbons, followed by Suzette Watkins, and I will first recite the speaker guidelines. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, your first speaker, Tom Gibbons, not present, Suzette Watkins. Please state your name and address for the record.
Suzette Watkins, 1801 Beaumont Avenue, Fort Worth, Texas, 76103. I came from Fort Worth this morning in the rain to voice my concerns about your Dallas Animal Services Department. It was very disturbing to read in the news the account of several days went by and the cat could still be heard scratching, clawing, crying, and jumping at the bottom of the wall in the same area indicated. As time went on, the cat grew weaker and less vocal. It is disturbing to me to know that a cat was in the walls of none other than the Dallas Animal Shelter and cried and clawed for 6 days, and no one did a thing about it. You cannot tell me that a vast number of employees in that shelter knew about this cat. You cannot tell me that the managers did not tell their managers, and their managers tell other people. And you've got how many layers of bureaucracy to make sure that the animal shelter is run in a lawful manner, and this happens? It's despicable. You've got an animal shelter advisory commission, Dallas Animal Shelter Advisory Commission, that has had some of the same people on it for years. 15 members appointed by the Dallas City Council. I suppose that you all, the Dallas City Council, are leaders of this city, and you appoint these people to this commission. The commission's mission is to assist the City of Dallas in ensuring that animal shelters operated by the city maintain certain standards required by Texas state law. Obviously, they have failed at their mission because you now have a cruelty charge against your animal shelter manager. There are problems. And how many thousands of dollars are spent in salaries to make sure that this doesn't happen, and you've also got the commission and it still happens? I would suggest that you adjust your qualifications to the commission. I'm sure that there's a lot of reputable kennels in Dallas, Texas, that have people in it that run those kennels and know what it's like to shelter dogs. Have some of those kennel owners sit on the commission. Have short-term measurable goals set. Require the commission members to spend at least 1 hour per week in the shelter to know what the heck is going on in that place. And do your jobs better and provide better leadership. When I was researching this, I came across more negative articles than I did positive articles about the Dallas Animal Shelter. Kennels are coated in grime, air conditioning vents were filthy, and there are dirty litter boxes with pooper scoopers in the sink feeding area. Something has got to be done, and I beg of you to please do your job better. Make sure that you listen to the commission members. If the commission members are saying that the city of Dallas doesn't listen to them, have they been advising you all? Have they been doing their job? Have you not been listening, or is it them? Is it you? What's going on here? Thank you very much, and please fix the problem.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Clarence Jackson. Clarence Jackson. Not present. That concludes your morning speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. The first item on the agenda is for the approval of minutes of August 25th. Those have been distributed in advance. If I could have a motion on those, please. All those in favor signify by saying aye. So ordered. There were a number of items that on the consent agenda this morning that were requested to be considered individually. Let me go through those with you. Item number 4, Mr. Atkins requested that that be considered individually. Item number 22, Mr. Newman. Item number 24, Mr. Atkins. Item number 29, Mr. Carraway. Item number 38, Ms. Margolin and Mr. Newman. And then over on the addendum, item number 1. Ms. Hill, Mr. Atkins, and Ms. Hunt. In addition to that, item number 40, there's a conflict of interest on. I have a conflict of interest on that, so that will be considered individually. So as a result, the items that will be considered individually from the consent agenda will be items number 4, item number 22, item 24, item 29, item 38, and item 40, and then over on the addendum, item number 1. And that's a conflict.
Mr. Mayor, addendum 2.
Addendum 2? I did 4-0. And that's a 4-0 on the regular, and that's a conflict of interest too. Okay. So let me go through them again so everybody's got it. It's 4, 22, 24, 29, 38, 40, and then over on the addendum 1 and 2. If I could get a motion for consideration of the consent agenda and the addendum with the exception of those. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Okay, with that, Madam Secretary, if you'd read into the record item number 4.
Item number 4 is authorize a 3-year professional services contract with 3 1-year renewal options for sales tax compliance review and recovery services. MUNA Services LLC, most advantageous proposer of 2. Councilmember Atkins.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Jane, please. Gene, on this particular item is a 3-year professional service contract, and this is a revenue source, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and a revenue source, when do we receive the $2.1 million? How is that?
The $2.1 million is an average of the estimated revenue that we'll receive over the life of the contract. Probably in the first year, we will not necessarily receive that.
When we said first year, we'll receive anything from 09 to 010.
Not 09, 10, but 10, 11, we anticipate a net $700,000 increase in sales tax.
So you do increase $700,000?
Yes, sir.
Do that reflect on our budget for next year, forecast?
Yes, it's included in the manager's proposed budget.
So what line item would that be in their forecast of $700,000?
There's a budget, a revenue budget for sales tax.
It'd be grouping the sales excuse me.
It's included in the sales tax budget that you would see in the manager's proposed.
So we're looking at an 09 to 010, $700,000. Then we're looking at from 10 to 11, another $700,000, and from 11 to 12, another $700,000. Is that how it works?
No revenue in 910. We estimate $700,000 for 10-11. And then during 10-11, we should get a better idea of the results from the vendor, and we will incorporate what we're seeing in increased revenues from the vendor into the forecast as we move forward. So I don't know for sure. This is an estimate. Once we see how well they're doing, we will either go up or down with our forecast on sales tax related to this contract.
So 11 and 12 would be an estimate. We wouldn't know, but it could be more than $700,000.
Certainly, we anticipate the contractor to be working full force and that they'll be collecting additional revenue. And based on the structure of the contract, as they identify taxpayers who aren't remitting in our jurisdiction, we'll get that increase in revenue going forward as well.
Could it be less than 2.1 million?
It could be. It could be more. We're just estimating now, and then as we get results, we can improve our forecast from there.
Is this the first time that this vendor had this contract? This is the first contract?
This is the city's first contract with this vendor. They have other sales tax collection contracts with other jurisdictions.
Okay. In the prior history, have we been, for the 3 years, we've been at the same rate of 2.1 million over 3 years, or have it been the same? Have it been up or down? Comparable to the last 3 years?
Well, we anticipate an increase. We have not used the service previously.
The question is, the last 3 years, how much was the contract?
This is the first time we've had this contract, so we...
This is the first time we're doing this.
Right, so we don't have anything from prior years.
But it could be less.
Yes, it could be more than less.
Do we have a volume? When I say could be less, how much this could it be? I mean, you got, is this a high number, 2.1? Could it go above 2.1, or could it be way less than 2.1? What is that gauge?
We're using estimates that the sales tax audit vendor has provided to us, so we'll just have to wait and see as they get started on their work to identify the taxpayers that aren't correctly remitting their taxes to see how much additional revenue we might get. It wouldn't be any less than zero, but...
Well, so how long do you need before you get the handle on the estimate? I mean, do you need 6 months, 7 months before you really figure out how this is going to work?
I would think probably 6 months or so for them to get started on their work, and they have to remit their findings to the state comptroller's office and get the state comptroller to agree to the revision of the sales tax payment.
Well, I don't have any problem with this item. I'll move to just go forward, but I would like for you to come back to us in 6 months and let us know, since the revenue sources, if the revenue is going to be forecast or the revenue is going to be decreased, let us know, get an update what's going on.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 22, please. 22.
Item number 22 is ordinances amending ordinance number 27692 and ordinance number 27693 to make certain adjustments to fund appropriations for fiscal year 2009-2010 for the capital improvement program and for maintenance and operation of various departments and activities, and to authorize the city manager to implement those adjustments.
Thank you. Mr. Newman, please.
I need Gene and A.C. Gonzalez, please. A.C. He's here somewhere. Good morning, Gene.
Good morning.
Is Mary not with us today, Ryan?
She'll be in a couple hours. She's in court right now.
Okay. Because I had some questions, Mayor, for the manager. Because the manager, I made some inquiries regarding this directly to Jean, and I got a response from the manager, and I was going to ask her.
Do you want to hold this?
Sure.
Madam Secretary, why don't you go to 24?
Item number 24 is authorize a professional services contract with Half Associates, Inc. for schematic design through construction administration services for erosion control and stream bank stabilization at the Dallas Zoo located at 650 South Arnold Thornton Freeway. Councilmember Atkins.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Okay, do I have someone from Paul? Paul, I guess. Paul, this $109,000 the obligation for the 2005, can you explain me and tell me what it is of the $109,000 coming from?
These are COs that were authorized for the consent decree, for the EPA consent decree that is handling some of the issues with the Dallas Zoo for remediation of issues of runoff and other issues. Similar issues like that.
Would this be part of the operation of the private person who runs the zoo, or just a part of the capital?
Well, we have both capital and some operating obligations. We have an obligation to the Dallas Zoo for $10.8 million.
Well, I can hear you.
We have an obligation to the Dallas Zoo for $10.8 million per year, and then we have an ongoing, not an obligation, but at the pleasure of the council, you may authorize bonds in the future. We still have some bonds left in the 2006 bond program, and there are some COs that were funded to take care of some of the issues regarding the consent decree, which is the property owner's responsibility.
Okay, so we have an obligation this year of $10.8 million from the parks, right?
Yes.
$10.8 million, and that's the operation of the zoo, right?
That's correct, yes.
Just operation.
Right.
And this 109, is this part of the $10.8 million?
It is not.
Okay.
Separate issue of debt for short-term 10-year debt that will address the issue regarding the consent decree.
Okay. Is there any more money that in 2010 that we got to go to obligation for the zoo? I mean, so I'm trying to figure out, you got $109,000 in. And this is not part of the capital budget, right?
Right.
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 So therefore, you got three pockets. You got the private person who operates the zoo. You know, that's what they got to pay for. And we got our obligation, which we got to pay them $10.8 million. And we got the capital that we got to do improvement from the bond that we got to pay out of the capital improvement, which we still maintain the zoo, right?
Correct.
Okay. So in this bucket right here, the obligation for 2005, is there any more money we got obligation going forward?
In the COs, there
in the COs,
are additional obligations.
How much is that?
At this point, we don't know. HALP is doing a study to determine what is required to mitigate some of the runoff, and I think there's about $1.7 million
so,
left.
If somebody would know, someone know that? How much is it?
The question is,
The balance in that fund
the
is
balance in the fund, that's what I'm getting to.
$1.7 million. And then of that 1.7, this contract would be awarded from the $1.7 million.
From the $1.7 million from that particular fund. Is that a fund that you have to come back to council every time you dip into that fund?
Depending on the dollar amount of the award, yes, we would have to come back to council.
Okay. And when that fund was set up, I'm trying to find out why is the private portion is not paying for that? I mean, why is it coming out of that fund? Why is it, to me, this is like a operation maintaining of the zoo is not a capital. Is it, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out.
Well, the consent decree, you know, responsibility resides with the owner of the property. We are the owner of the property. The city of Dallas was the one enjoined in this consent decree, and so therefore it's our responsibility. We engaged in this some 4 years ago, and so it's our responsibility to finish this up. The zoo has ongoing monitoring responsibilities within their operating budget to comply with the decree, but our job is to come back and complete some of the runoff situations, which are containment.
I guess what you're saying is we got a responsibility to make sure the capital is spent there, and they got a responsibility to make sure to operate and maintain the zoo properly. Is that part of it?
That's a fair
and also, this obligation is part of to make sure it is, make sure it's our capital is going to be safe.
Right.
Thank you very much. So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 29, please. 29.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 29 is authorize a professional services contract with APM and Associates, Inc. for the engineering design of the connector roadway from Luzon Street to Corregidor Street. Mayor Pro Tem Carroway.
Ms. Carroway.
Thank you. Jill, if you could come forward for just a moment. Just kind of explain once again this process of what we're doing. So in Joppa.
Right. In Joppa, we've had Habitat for Humanity, who's been doing a lot of home building down there, and it's an older neighborhood with a lot of the old rural streets with bar ditches and no concrete, no drainage. And so what we've been doing using 2003 bond funds is redoing many of those streets, putting in as concrete streets, putting in the drainage. What we had done when we set up this whole project was just redo the street grid that is out there now, which ends up with a bunch of dead-end streets that dead-end into the Trinity floodplain. The neighborhood engaged Good Fulton Farrell to do a land use plan for their neighborhood, and the land use plan that they came up with included a street that would parallel the floodplain and tie in all of those dead-end streets so that you wouldn't have dead ends. And that came along after we had done our engineering work. So since we have this contract and we've got two of those streets that are going to be, they're under construction now, we have the opportunity to begin that land use plan, tie those streets together. The advantage of that is we don't have dead-end streets, and we can also loop the water lines, which will help with water pressure and water quality. So we thought we'd take the opportunity, since we're already out there doing work, to add on to the engineering contract, and then same, you'll see a subsequent one with the construction contract. We'll have to buy a couple little pieces of land, but it shouldn't be a big deal, and we can get this land use plan underway.
And this is a Joppa, would you say, is a very active neighborhood?
Absolutely. Active neighborhood association. They're wanting to improve their neighborhood. They have this land use plan and have engaged professionals to come in and help them. And we're doing a lot of work in that area, redoing the streets down there.
How many other neighborhoods are in that proximity? That's a major neighborhood?
This is a major neighborhood. This is a historic black Freeman's town. And
it's what, and I say it again?
It's a historic black Freeman's town.
Okay.
And one of the remaining few, and because it's isolated, it's surrounded by the Trinity floodplain. It's been preserved as a neighborhood, and
it's been preserved as a neighborhood. It's historic, and one of the
and very active homeowners
very active
out there, and okay. They really want to see their their neighborhood preserved, and that's why we're doing a lot of the streets and water lines and redoing that. And
we're putting a lot of concentration in the Joppa area,
yes,
where they're the only houses and the only neighborhood in that immediate area that we're speaking of surrounding the Trinity River.
Right, on this side. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Mayor, I'd like to move approval on this item. Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Thank you very much. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Ordered. Thank you. Item number 38, Madam Secretary, 38.
Item number 38 is an ordinance amending Chapter 2 of the Dallas City Code 2, Number 1. Authorize independent appraisals of proposed abandonment property where the estimated abandonment fee is less than $20,000. And number two, adjust fees and charges related to abandonment of public rights of way. Councilmember Margolin and Councilmember Newman.
Ms. Newman, would you like to begin?
Thank you, Mayor. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, sir.
My question is this a requirement? Is this to allow or to require? I'm confused as to what this is directing. Is this to allow or to require this appraisal?
It's to...
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry, sir. For properties that are valued $20,000 or less, the staff may use DCAD or may require an appraisal.
for properties that are 20,000 or more, we always use an appraisal.
Okay, I'm not worried about the more. So what this is saying, under 20,000, it's the staff's option or it's the buyer's option?
We usually consult with the buyer in that regard. What was happening in the past was people were looking to purchase a property that might have a value of, you know, say maybe $7,500, but the appraisal was $5,000.
Yeah.
So it was a disincentive. So we went through the Economic Development Committee and we talked about kind of what threshold would be appropriate to allow DCAD value or the staff or some other comps that we might have access to or the staff's experience to set a reasonable price.
Okay, so back to my original question. This gives the staff the authority to choose, or is it the applicant?
The staff's authority to choose.
It doesn't require, it just
yes.
gives an option.
Yes.
Okay.
An either or.
Okay, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you,
Teresa.
Mr. Nijinsky, please. And then Ms. Margolin. Ms. Margolin?
I'm trying, but my mic is not on. There it is. Okay. My question is about D3, and I wanted to know if this is typical. It says the applicant shall reimburse the city the cost of an independent appraisal whether or not the abandonment is approved, and I wondered why the applicant wouldn't be paying the fee up front.
Typically, we ask for about half. We ask for $2,500 up front, and then when the appraisal comes in, we ask for the remainder. Sometimes they're typically $5,000. Sometimes they're less. Sometimes they're a little bit more.
Why don't we collect it up front, and then we don't have to worry about collecting it?
We could do that.
Okay. Well, then I would like to, when the appropriate time comes, make an amendment to do that.
Okay.
Take that on the motion. If you want to make a motion.
Okay. I move to approve agenda item number 38 with the following amendment to D3, section D3, that the applicant shall pay the city the cost of an independent appraisal whether or not the abandonment is approved.
That's been moved. And seconded. Mr. Tiski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Teresa, just I'm in favor of making this change. I just got a question for you procedurally. Something that is sitting in the back of my mind. When we abandon a street, if the street is abandoned to the adjacent property owners, we get the appraisal and they pay quote unquote fair market appraised value for the property. What if a street is taken private? Does the same process apply?
If they're abandoning the street to make it private?
Well, yeah, I mean,
yes,
it seems like it would be the same thing to me.
Art has a look, so let's hear from Art.
Instead of abandoning it to the adjoining property owner, let's say that the HOA wants to take the street private.
Yeah. What we do, Councilman, is, first of all, by law, we have to abandon it to the abutting property owner. There are instances where a street is being taken private, made into a gated community. In that case, the abutting owner quitclaims his interest to the homeowners association or whatever entity is going to be administering the private street. They have to pay the abandonment fee unless they apply for the application of a specific provision we have that allows for a square foot offset for the private roads dedicated, or for the private roads, for the public roads that go private. So, for example, if you want to turn a private drive or a public road into a private drive, get off the community, they typically get a credit for that road going private and don't have to pay an abandonment fee.
Where do they get the credit from?
They get the credit for the private drive and taking over maintenance of the private drive. Now, they do allow easements for garbage and other utilities to go in there, but that's the provision of the code.
So, listening to what you say, in effect, there has been no revenue to the city.
On the conversion of a public road to a private drive, there's the processing fee and there's the saving of the maintenance cost, but in the typical situation, and there's limited application to that. There's certain zones are eligible for this and others aren't. But other than the application fee and getting off of the maintenance obligation, no, there's no revenue to the city.
So why would someone want the city to abandon public right-of-way to them and have to pay for it when they have this other route where they can get it basically for just having the processing fee paid, well, and they don't have to pay for it on a per square foot basis?
That the latter option is only when it's being converted to a private drive. The typical abandonment situation is blocking up a tract of land for development.
And not using it for a street.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So
for its development purposes, the no revenue situation is typically the community, the larger community, that's wanting to create a gated community and create private drives within the gated community.
All right. I'll talk to you and Teresa offline about that, because it seems to be we're contradicting what we're doing. On one hand, we're making a change to an ordinance that says we're going to make it easier to abandon public right-of-way to the adjoining property owner. And at the same time, what I'm hearing you say is, but we have another procedure that says they don't even have to pay for it.
In that unique, in that limited situation, that's correct. I'm happy to visit with you about it.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Dimmigley.
Okay. Ms. Mark Golan's amendment is to basically, if I understand it, Dan, is to require the applicant to pay the appraisal if, regardless of whether the council approves the abandonment. That's the gist. Ms. Margolin, can I ask her, Mayor?
Sure.
And, okay, Teresa, how often does a role play this? How often do we go into a situation where an applicant asks for to purchase an abandonment and manage abandonment and the council doesn't approve it?
Oh, gosh, I think that would be very rare.
Very rare.
Very rare.
Okay. So the intent of your, the intent is just to ensure that the city gets its, to ensure in an always situation the city gets its money back. Okay. I'm fine. I just don't want to be in a situation where we're enacting a fee and if there is a track record of transactions that don't get consummated and then someone has to pay a fee. I understand. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, would you read number 40? Mr. Drama, would you take the chair? I have a conflict of interest on this one.
Item number 40 is an ordinance abandoning portions of Kutcher and Pauline Streets to Baylor Healthcare System, the abutting owner, containing a total of approximately 32,273 square feet of land located near the intersection of Kutcher and Pauline Streets, authorizing the quitclaim and providing for the dedication of approximately 32,273 square feet of land needed for street right-of-way. Mayor Leffert has stepped out of the chamber.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Make sure that the record states that the mayor is out on a conflict of interest.
Please have the mayor. Madam
Secretary. Thank you.
Madam Secretary, would you go to addendum item number 2? And Ms. Coop, this is the one that you have a conflict of interest on. And the record will show that Ms. Coop has excused herself from the chamber.
Addendum item number 2 is authorized number 1, a development and reimbursement agreement with the Museum of Nature and Science, an independent 501c3 nonprofit foundation, for the design and construction of streetscape improvements in the city's right-of-way along Field Street and the Woodall Rogers Expressway Access Road. And number 2, reimbursement of engineering and design fees to the Museum of Nature and Science.
Motion on this item, please.
Double.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, let's read in addendum item number 1. And I think what we'll do on that is go ahead and take any speakers that we have now on it. Then we'll go ahead and recess. We'll pick it up for the afternoon session at 1. Take any other speakers that may be here, because I know there's some confusion given what usually happens in some public hearings and that sort of thing. And then finish the rest of our agenda at 1 o'clock then. So, Madam Secretary, if you'll read it in. Addendum item number 1.
Addendum item number 1 is the first reading of the appropriation ordinances for the proposed fiscal year 2010-2011 City of Dallas Operating Grants and Trusts and Capital Budget.
And I appreciate everybody being here. Let me see just a quick show of hands. How many of you intend to speak on this item, addendum item number 1? Just a show of hands, how many?
Point of clarification, we signed up for open mic. It is budget related. Are you talking to
I'll take anybody that wants to speak on addendum item number 1. I just want to get a sense of the number. So just raise your hand if you intend to speak on it. So we've got 4 people. Okay. Okay, why don't we take that? We'll go 2 minutes each. Then we'll go into recess, and then we'll pick it back up at 1 o'clock with any other speakers that we may have. So why don't you call the... But to tell you what, if it's 4 or 5, why don't we just begin with you? If you come up, identify name and address, and then we'll just get the 5 speakers. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Laura Peach. My address is 7105 Dallas, Meadow Creek, Dallas, Texas. She's 85 years old. She had a good job. She was able to save a little bit, but that savings is all gone now. The throbbing in her jaw started last year grew unbearable. So desperate, she went to a low-cost dental clinic. The cavity had invaded the root. The tooth was now cracked, and it had to be pulled. But worse than that, her bridge was anchored to that tooth, so it also must be reworked. It would take her almost a year's worth of Social Security payments to pay for her restoration. Without financial options, the dentist gave her painkillers and an antibiotic and sent her home, a Band-Aid for a very serious health crisis. Low-income seniors are left without care for oral health issues, as Medicare and Medicaid do not cover dental care in Texas. For 20 years, the City of Dallas has partnered with Community Dental Care to fill this donut hole. Last year, without warning or opportunity to replace the funds, the city cut our program from the general fund, leaving low-income seniors without resources for dental pain. Champions of city council, at the last minute, found almost $100,000 to help our most vulnerable citizens and seniors. Last year, with that $100,000, we were able to provide 825 visits at a value of about $280,000. As these numbers show, we can do a lot with a little. There is a misconception that the county currently provides or plans to provide funding for senior dental care. It's not true. The city funds are the only governmentally backed dollars dedicated to senior dental care. No other state or federal programs exist currently. We are working very hard and tirelessly in grant requests in the private sector to replace the $675,000 that the City Council has previously approved. Results have been a drop in the bucket. We won't give up, though. It's tough finding private sector funds for seniors. Establishment of new renewable funding for senior dental care takes time. We're back to ask for your help, for our seniors and for our organization as we look forward to options for our seniors. We will continue to serve those who desperately need our help. We urge you to accept the reasonable plan to continue to provide dental treatment to low-income seniors by restoring the $100,000 in the general fund.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Our next speaker. Thank you.
I'm Linda Ender, and I reside at 5341 Mercedes Avenue, and I want to protest that I followed the rules for open mic. I was told by staff that I was number 1, and then the rules of the game were changed today, and I just want to protest that. I am the age director at the Senior Source, a nonprofit agency that has been serving the greater Dallas area since 1961. Mayor Leppard and council members, firstly, I want to thank our city manager, Mary Soom, for reinstating some of the funding for senior programs, and our main concern at this point is the lack of funding for senior dental care. No funding with the city, none with the county. Medicare, Medicaid do not pay, and I hope this council will make it a priority for this budget. The budget is all about setting priorities for the city, and of course there are differing opinions on how to do that. But many of the citizens of Dallas would like the city manager, the mayor, and the city council to think about the citizens of Dallas a little differently than you have been. The aging network in Dallas has begun to research what services are provided for senior citizens in major Texas cities. The work is not complete, and it will be ongoing, but it's already very interesting. For example, San Antonio has about the same population and the same budget. And last year, we spent $482,614 on seniors, and San Antonio spent $2.4 million. Another example, Plano has about one-fifth our population, a much smaller budget, but their senior center receives what we spent. El Paso, with half our population, spends twice what we spend on seniors. I understand that some funding is tied to specific services, but maybe it's time to step back, identify all discretionary funds, and establish some priorities based upon serving a healthy, happy citizenry, including older adults. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good morning. Peggy Glenn Summit. I reside at 8431 Forest Hills Boulevard. And I wanted to thank you for including the senior employment program in the budget, for the city manager's budget, and encourage all of you to support that. It's a $38,000 investment, but it's going to pay dividends better than you get at any bank. No offense, Councilmember Allen. We all probably know someone over the age of 60 who's looking for a job. Send them to the Senior Source. I'm director over all the programs there, and I want to tell you that that program is seeing the greatest increase in the number of clients. What can the Senior Source do with the money provided by the city? We provide one-on-one individualized counseling. And we've seen that when we provide that counseling, one out of three get a job. And that's pretty good because we don't have any other standards for people coming in. They don't have to have certain qualifications. They don't have to have any certain background. It's all comers. We also have job networking sessions twice a month where they can share job leads with each other and find tips on job hunting, resume workshops. You name it, we are there to help people get a job, be employed, have money to pay taxes, have money to buy medicine. But that leads me to one thing that we can't do without your help, and that's dental funding. There's no other source for dental funding. Medicare doesn't cover it. Medicaid doesn't cover it. And it is a big, big obstacle to a lot of people. It can cause infection, it can cause lack of inability to eat, and it's really important that funds be found for dental health for our city residents. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next speaker. I think there's two more.
I'm Mary Sue Wells, and I reside at 1222 Commerce Street in Dallas, 75202. I'm here this morning to thank the city manager, Mary Shin, and the council for continuing the medical transportation program as a line item on the budget this year. As we all know, our older adult and disability populations are growing by leaps and bounds. It is with absolute amazement that I realize I will be 62 in only a matter of days. Time goes by so quickly. As a person who is blind, transportation has always been a struggle for me. As a young mother, because of special transportation programs like the senior medical transportation one, I was able to take my child to daycare and then go to work and be a part of our community. For the last 2 years, I've been fortunate enough to work for REACH, which is our local center for independent living, as an advocate for the disabled and older adults. I have also worked closely with DART, Paratransit, Accessibility and Advisory Group, and with the Community Transportation Network. So I have come to urge you to vote for the senior transportation program on September 23rd. If you do, you will allow older adults to continue to receive much-needed medical treatment. Remember, it is the hope of all of us in this room today that we will be older adults and remain a valuable and valued resource of the community in which we live. In the invocation this morning, we were told that good government is not always happy government, but approving this is good and happy government. Thank you very
much. Thank you very much. I think we have one more speaker.
My name is John Knutson, 16209 Dalmally Lane, and I live in Mr. Natinsky's district. I'm also a leader with Dallas Area Interfaith. We must remember to do all we can to make our city attractive. We support money for important city services and for programs that grow the tax base like Quest Dallas. DAI supports funding for this initiative because it takes people from poverty-level income to middle-class employment and has a proven return of $12 for every dollar invested. As important as this is, public safety is at the top of the list and should be dealt with first before other needs. DAI has worked effectively with the city since 2005 to reduce crime in our city. Our main emphasis has been to increase the number of police officers to 3 per 1,000. In the past 5 years, we have increased this ratio from 2 to 2.78. The effectiveness of this can be seen with our 35% decrease in that time in crime. Now is not the time to put this progress in jeopardy. With this budget, Dallas moves one step forward and two steps back regarding the police. Don't be fooled by the temporary increase of police officers on patrol next year. This increase is only due to officers recruited and trained during the previous budget year, completing their 14-month training program. This proposed budget does not hire additional officers, does not replace those coming out of training, and replaces only one half of attrition. We propose that we hire 100 officers over attrition rather than the 200 we have in the past. This keeps us going in the right direction and keeping an appropriate number in the cycle. In addition, this should be paid for with an adjustment to the tax rate to the effective rate of 79.72 cents, which would be the same property tax revenue was in 2009.
Well, let's try to wrap up.
Okay.
Maybe about 10 seconds.
This would not be a tax increase for homeowners. Most would see a reduction in their tax bill compared to 2009. The effective rate also would be effective because if property values go up and we use the effective rate, then the rate goes down and we do not increase taxes.
Appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and go into recess now. We'll pick it back up at 12:45 with the item number 22 that you had. We've got additional speakers. We'll pick that up. And then I anticipate we can get through the afternoon session relatively quickly. There's not a lot in terms of the zoning agenda. So we'll go in recess, and we'll reconvene at 12:45. 12:45. Thank you.
Recess at 9:49.
Good morning, everyone, or good afternoon. Let's call our session back into order. Let me give you a quick overview. We've only really got a couple of items. We'll go ahead and try to finish item number 22. That was one that we held over. Then we'll go back to addendum item number 1, which is the budget. Could I just see a show of hands if there's anybody that wants to speak on addendum item number 1? So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. What we'll do is we'll go 2 minutes each. If you can keep it shorter than that, that would be appreciated. But nevertheless, 2 minutes. And we'll, as soon as we finish item 22, we'll do that. Then after we finish addendum item number 1, then we'll go to the zoning docket. And that will be the last order of business. I think there's about 6 or 7 of those this afternoon. So with that, Ms. Newman, you want to go ahead and go?
Yeah, this is number 22, Mayor?
It is, yes, sir.
1 second.
And then you want to go on 22?
Okay.
Oh, there's more.
Any more, Mayor?
Mayor's there.
I picked up his desk.
Okay, yeah. Well, Mayor, the manager was meeting with me during the briefing. She picked up half my desk. Be careful, Janelle. Be careful. She comes to visit. She usually takes. You want her to deliver, not take. Okay. Mayor, council members, my question is on 22, Gene, please. This question is to Gene and to Mary. This was briefed at Budget, Finance, and Audit on the 24th of August. Correct, Gene?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And one of the questions I raised at Budget, Finance, and Audit was the reallocation of dollars that were for Hensley Field and the Naval Air Station, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. To my shock and dismay, I've heard that expression, it looks like what the manager is proposing to do is move money out of the Hensley Capital Fund to the general fund, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Mary, my conversation with you during the break, we went through this, and I conveyed to you, and I want to convey publicly how dismayed I am about how this money was moved a year ago without a full briefing to the council of that portion to the extent of, what, $12
million? $10 million, a little over 10 was moved last year in the budget process.
And you had given me a memo just following up on that. 11-151.
An additional $1 million was proposed this year.
Mayor and council members, and I said this to you, Mary, before, and I'll repeat it again publicly now. It gravely concerns me that we move money out of this Hensley Fund, which basically defunds our ability to put economic redevelopment in place in Hensley Field. If I was made aware of this last year, and shame on me for missing it, if I was made aware of this last year, I would have fought against that, because we're basically taking money out of a fund for the redevelopment of Hensley Field, putting it in the general fund, and the redevelopment of Hensley Field goes back to scratch zero. I voted against this reappropriation at Budget, Finance, and Audit, and I will vote against it today. This is an additional $500,000. Is that what is in this ordinance here today? Because I do not think that's full disclosure. I don't think that's what the citizens that are in District 3 that includes Hensley Field, the old Dallas Naval Air Station, defunding is basically changing, and I said this to you, Mary, defunding is basically changing the policy by which we as a council in the city hope to do with Dallas Naval Air Station. And I'm just very disappointed. I'm disappointed in me, quite honestly, Mary, as a councilman, that I missed that last year, because I would have objected loudly last year. But I'm glad at least I caught it this way this year, but I can't support this because that defunds something that's a great opportunity for the city. We've talked about moving the auto pound there. We've talked about other city services. We've talked about potential expansions of what Vought is doing out there. And I'm just very disappointed, Mary, in the manager's office not fully elevating this issue. Now, a comment you made earlier was that, you talked about WRR money moving. That was $5.6 million or $6.5 million. Why would $11 million not be publicly disclosed when $6.5 million was disclosed? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Your comment.
I just wanted to give a little bit in the way of explanation. Last year when we were balancing the budget, I mentioned to you many times that we looked in every account and scraped out any extra money we had. There were several accounts that had extra operating money in them, what they needed, in excess of what they needed for operating, and we put that into the general fund. The example being that WRR is an example, Hensley is an example too. If an operation like that is making some excess money and we're all right financially in the general fund budget, we might leave it there. WRR is an example because if they make extra money somewhere along the way, maybe 5-10 years from now, we're going to have to build a new WRR station. So we would building. So we might keep that money in there. But when it's a choice between having to do a tax rate increase and balancing the budget, I don't think you can leave that money sitting. So we moved it in. There were several accounts like this, and Hensley Field was one of them. And Mr. Newman, I want to publicly apologize for not being more specific with you with the detail. I'm sorry. I can do better on that. That is not my habit nor my practice to hide things. You need full information to make decisions. I'm sorry you didn't get that. The situation with Hensley Field is in 2002, the federal government settled with us for the damages that had been done to Hensley Field with an $18.5 million commitment settlement fund. Those went into a fund called Hensley Field. The $18.5 million was spent on Hensley Field. The make-ready facility, that's a city facility out there, was invested to the tune of about $15 million or $13 million, somewhere in there. There's some money done on the runways, expansion of the runways, and a little bit of that was spent on operating the facility. Since 2002, there have been other revenues earned by that fund, interest earnings, the rents and leases. And additionally, we sold a facility on Inwood Road and put the proceeds from that sale into that account. We did that because that particular facility was moving out there. So normally it would have gone to the general fund anyway. So that is the money that is being transferred, the earnings in excess of operation over the year, the interest earnings, and the funds from that land sale. Again, I apologize to Mr. Newman for putting him in a position of not having enough information. We should have been more specific about those accounts that we cleared out to balance the budget last year. And all I can say is I'm sorry and I won't do that again. That's not my habit or practice.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Thank you, Mayor. You know, but I do not serve on the finance and audit. And I know this is brief in the finance audit. And I talked to Dave about it, and again, I'm disappointed too, because the last year you took $10 million out of funds to help balance the budget, and I might be getting a little older, but when did we take that money out to balance the budget?
It's detailed in the ordinance you passed for the budget.
So could you tell me what month, when? Was it September?
September when you passed the budget.
So did we do it at the same time when we took $10 million out of reserve to balance the budget?
Yes.
At the same day. So we took $10 million out of reserve and put $10 million out of Hempstead Field. So we took $20 million to balance the budget.
We
took $20 million, right?
Well, you also took money out of WRR and some other funds. We did.
Okay, but to be transparent, you know, when we went and tried to balance the budget last year, and I heard a whole lot of colleagues came about and say, you know what, that we short, then the day of to balance the budget, you know, we had to make sure the right procedure to before we take money out of reserves, we had to make sure the budget is balanced. But at that time, I know I was kind of mistaken and thought that the $10 million come out of reserve, that I did not tell my people in town hall meeting that we're going to take $10 million reserves to balance the budget last year or to the day of. But we did discuss we took $10 million reserve to balance the budget. But my concern still today is that we took $10 million reserve, but we also have another $10 million from Hempstead Field that we took to balance the budget. And I don't remember hearing about that $10 million, but that $20 million we took to balance the budget last year, that $20 million. And so the WRR, I do understand we took $5 million, but this $10 million, which is $18 million, this is in what account? The lawsuit.
General fund.
General fund. So
the settlement money was spent at Hensley Field.
But did the settlement money make any kind of interest?
Yes.
Okay, so
we earned interest on that.
So we earned interest on that, just the $18 million? More.
We earned interest on the $18 million plus anything that had been operating here.
$18 million plus what?
But any excess they had on the operating, we earned interest on the money in that account. Yes.
So, assets. So, how much asset do we have? I'm just trying to give a number, you know.
In excess of $20
million. In excess of $20 million. So, how much do we have left in that particular account?
About $3 million, a little over $3
million. So, we got $3 million left in that particular account. Is that $3 million part of the balance budget this year?
No, sir.
Will that $3 million be part of the balance budget this year in the future?
I don't know.
But it's a possibility you could use the $3 million to balance the budget.
If it is, I will be sure that everybody understands that. It is in our budget. It is not labeled clearly enough. I can show it to you.
But I would like for you to label clear enough to show it to us so we have transparency so we know.
Yes.
Okay. And like I said, you know, colleagues, you know, $20 million, that's a whole lot of money. So And I wish we was aware of it last year when we balanced the budget, you know. So I understand your explanation, Mary, but to me that, you know, can I WRR, is that an asset that pays revenue each year?
Not each year. Sometimes they don't make money.
Okay, so the last 3 years, do they make money?
They have a positive balance in that account beyond what they need for 30 days.
When you say positive balance, is that a million or 200,000?
I don't know what it is right now.
Could you give me a list how much the balance of debt or how much money they make it?
Yes.
And that includes, okay, do they own the real estate, right? So do you know the value of the real estate? How much the value of the real estate of WRR? And also, just give me a 5-year, you know, history.
Sure.
You see how much money will come. Now, are you forecasting any WRR money to the OT 11 and 12 budget?
No.
So no forecast of that
no.
at all?
No.
Okay. And the Hempstead Field, we're not forecasting any more money from there?
No, all these accounts have built up over 10, 12 years. So rather than leave the money built up in there, we moved it, recommended a move into the general.
Well, you know, but my concern is if we got an account that is building up revenue and it's possible we can use that revenue to balance the budget to make sure employees not getting laid off, we make sure our parts are not cut, we should know that so we know that revenue we got in hand.
Okay. Well, it was in the budget. It's in the ordinance that you passed. I will be sure in the future that I call those things out so that it's not as clear as it should have been, but it was there.
Right, and I understand, you know, because I read the budget, you know, pretty good. I'm pretty good reading budget, you know, and I did, you know, remember the money we took out of reserve, and that's why I would not go back into our reserve because our reserve is so low. We're right at 5.2, 5.3, and we also promised some more money we got to take out of reserve next year. So we don't need to touch that reserve. I mean, that's like insurance policy. We're right at the bone of our reserve. What we need to do, we need to replenish our reserve. So if we need to take some money, find some money, we need to put that money back in our reserve so we do have it in case of the right today. We need some insurance. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. Mayor, how much is in our reserve right now?
5.3. At the end of the year, it'll be about 5.3%.
So what is your long-term goal to try to get where we was at before you had to take money out?
Well, I think for the next couple of years, we're not going to have a lot of money, so I want to keep it above our requirements of our FNPC, and eventually we'd like to build it back up.
Do you have plans for eventually on building it back up?
Yes, that would be our goal.
Okay, when are you going to present the plan to us?
Well, it'll be in the budget each year because, I mean, I can tell you we probably won't be able to next year. It's probably 2 or 3 years out before we can start that process.
So if there was an emergency, if there was just happened to be an emergency, then what would happen if we would have to take that money for some type of emergency?
We believe we have adequate money for that kind of emergency.
Okay, so as of this year, you don't see that you have to take any more money out of the reserve?
I've given you a reserve level that I'm comfortable with and I've been recommending to you also.
So, and I just want to, if the reserve was happen to get below the 5 million, then...
That's 5%.
5%. If it was to 50 million, okay. So if it was to get below that, then what's happening?
But if it gets, what our standards say is we'll have 5%. It's 5.3% right now. So it will be at the end of the year. So that we'd like to keep it a little above 5%.
So you, okay.
That's the standard we measure by. This is what we think we need for the budget.
So if we were to have an emergency, then you would not go back to that pot of money. You would just have to try to find.
If we have an emergency, yes, I would. I'd go try to find it somewhere else first. But if we had to, that's what the reserves are for.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It's item 22. Is there a motion on that? It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
There'll be two objections, Mr. Newman and Mr. Atkins. Thank you very much. With that, let's move then back to addendum item number one. Again, I know we've got some speakers. What I'd ask you to do is, if you would come on down to the front part, each of you take it 2 minutes or less. We appreciate you being with us. We'll go through the speakers first.
If you will please state your name and address for the record as you come up to speak.
Afternoon. My name is Bob Stimson. I reside at 707 Ten Aloma Court in Dallas, Texas. I come today speaking on, well, wearing a few hats. One is president of the Oak Cliff Chamber, one is a recovering council member, and one is a resident of the city. I'm not sure which one I do better. But first, I will come to speak and encourage the council to have an amendment to the budget that takes out the building permit and inspection fees that have been proposed. There is just a myriad of issues inside this thing that I think has to be thought through a little bit better than what we've seen so far. In terms of financing, you know, I'm pretty good with numbers, but when I looked at the briefing package and I see proposed fees totaling about $2.1 million, then I look over at the budget and I see an increase in the department of a little bit over $540,000, it doesn't jive. And then when I see that we're only increasing the staffing by 13.7 folks out of $2 million, it really didn't jive. So from a chamber standpoint, we know and we appreciate that the staff is taking a look at that department. It really needs some help, and I appreciate them doing that. I think we need to have some other people at the table that are actually stakeholders that are actually paying those bills at the table when those discussions happen, so I would encourage you to do that. As a former council member, I go to the budget issues. As a resident, I got to just say from a personal standpoint, the idea of effectively giving fees 10% for our historic and our conservation districts is just not the right way to go about it. When we have a city that is really looking to try to create tax base, when you're trying to get people to reinvest in their neighborhoods and keep their houses in good shape, in Oak Cliff, it's the historic neighborhoods and the conservation districts that are leading the charge, and to throw a 10% fee on top of what they're doing already to comply with their ordinance doesn't make any sense from a long-term standpoint. So I encourage you to come back and do a budget amendment that takes out the entire impact and allow us to start over and work with staff to come up with something that makes sense for everybody. Thank you. Sorry for going over.
No, I appreciate it. Now, I think there was some other individuals that we're going to talk specifically on the fees related to the permits and those sorts of things. I had a chance to visit with staff. I anticipate that there will be an amendment that will pull that out. I've also visited with the Real Estate Council, some representatives of that, and some other ones. And I think what we need to do is address not only that issue, but step back and try to look at the processes in total. In other words, understand where our processes may be more expensive, where they may take more time than comparable pieces. The gentleman who will head up TREC, I think in January, that was my conversation. They want to take it on as a project. You mentioned having other people at the table. Again, I think it is a very analytic exercise. It is a time-consuming one. It is literally ripping processes apart and putting them back together, all of those sorts of elements. It can be done. It can be done very successfully, but it is a detail-oriented effort. If other people want to be part of that, we would love to have them be part of that. So we'll do that. I think that's the better way to address it, because I think we not only want to address the question that you asked, but we also want to step back and say, are we doing it as effectively and efficiently as we can, and make sure that we measure ourselves not just against our own standards, but step back and look at what's being done on a comparable basis by other cities, understanding that we've got to be competitive. And importantly, as we do this, to set up some metrics that will be available as we go forward to say how long things should take, how long are we taking versus that kind of standard, et cetera, so that's available and it's open and we continue to work on it.
Appreciate your comments.
Yeah, appreciate that. Hopefully that might be helpful to some of the other ones, some of the other speakers too. But that's going forward. As I said, TREC is, I know it's going to be one of the people that's very much involved in it. I appreciated them stepping up and being involved. There can be clearly other groups that are involved in it too. But we just need to make sure that we're looking at everything. So it'll be a project that we'll take on. It'll be a good one, I think. Thank you. Thank you.
Mitch Paradise, 6264 Martell Avenue. I'll be very brief. Per the mayor's comments, I'm here on behalf of the TREC Board of Directors as well as NACCAR Board of Directors to address the fee permit issue. I just wanted to say our organizations are sensitive to the fact that you guys are facing tough budget decisions right now. So you have a lot of groups who are saying, you know, I'm not doing it, not me. I'm not putting up with a tax increase. I don't want to see more fees. And the organizations are not here to say that we don't want to see those fees. We just want to have an opportunity to sit down and share our experiences with you to be more constructive on how we work those fees in and sit down again to share our experiences and try to keep more development in Dallas and make the system better. So we just want to help. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Your Honor, members of the City Council, I'll be brief. I welcome your comments. My name is Manny Ybarra, 1040 North Central Expressway. I'm here on behalf of the Real Estate Council as well as Chairman of the Government Affairs Committee. We do welcome the opportunity to work with staff in formulating a strategy and a plan to making the organization as effective as possible. So I won't go through all the details. Now that we have a consensus on how we're moving forward, know that our organization is committed to seeing this through to a successful outcome. So thanks again for your time.
Appreciate Trek's involvement.
Go ahead and start. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. My name is Vicki Capers, and I own property in District 13. Thank you for allowing me the time to discuss the possible tax increases in Dallas. I was unaware of the possible increase until I read an article in the Dallas Morning News this weekend. I have since discovered an organized effort to pass this increase. For the record, I have no organization. I am just a simple homeowner in Dallas. In the past few years, our property appraisal has increased by the state by a loud 10% annually, with commensurate increases in taxes. This year, the appraised district increased our home value by $50,000. We were able to get relief by paying an appraiser to reduce the amount to its fair value. My husband and I receive our income only through commission sales. We have been hit by the economic downturn like everyone else, and our income is 40% lower than it was a couple of years ago. I'm sure there are others like us and others who are currently unemployed or underemployed struggling to make ends meet. It has gotten to the point these increases in taxes have us thinking of moving from the city of Dallas. One homeowner won't make a difference. Someone will take our place, but these increases affect businesses as well. What's to stop a business from moving to Denton or Collin County or elsewhere? This is not the time to put further burdens on the citizens and businesses of Dallas. We know budget cuts can be painful, but you must also consider the result of diminished tax base if residents and businesses relocate to a more tax-friendly service. As much as we may miss some of the city services, we understand the times we are in, and we will accept the loss and look forward to better times in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Hi, good afternoon. Scott Potter, 4843 Junius, Dallas, Texas, and a resident of Peak Suburban Edition Historic District. I'm speaking today in opposition to the proposed fees to submit and review of certificate of appropriateness. Our conservation and historic districts are already taxed with additional lead time and the wait time to receive approval. Adding additional financial burden to stakeholders who are reinvesting in their neighborhood is not the solution to solve our budget issues. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My name is John Napper. I reside in 9430 Halfway, Dallas, Texas. I'm here today representing NAOP. I am the president of NAOP. I was here a couple of weeks ago also. At that time, we thought this agenda item had been taken, or the budget item had been, the fee and permitting fees inside the budget had been pulled. We've been told that. We understand now, Mayor, and we appreciate your leadership and help and support from the council members that we've talked to, that this is now going to be offered up as an amendment. I would just like to, again, kind of influence and give you some initiative to help let NAOP help you in this process, along with the Real Estate Council. Just real quickly, our board consists of the Billingsley Company, Munch Hart, Cole, ING, Jackson Shaw, Primera, Capstar, Holt Lunsford Company, Champion, Archon, Mark Myers, Myers Crow, Cortland Development, Panattoni, Majestic, Hillwood, and on, Trammell Crow. We are the ones paying these fees, right, to be honest with you. And at the end of the day, the development community at that level is our number at the end of the day. So please let us help you, and we appreciate you making an effort to get this amendment taken off.
We appreciate it, Mr. Davis. Thanks, John. And needless to say, we'd like NAOP to be involved in this. You can have them offline.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for listening today. I'm Michael. I'm at 2210 West Sands. I'm the president of the Olive Cliff Conservation League. We have three historic districts. four conservation districts and two neighborhoods that are currently becoming conservation districts. And a lot of our areas, we're not aware of the imposing fees that are going on. And we totally appreciate the situation that the city's in with their finances. But as Bob said, a lot of these neighborhoods are leading the charge in Oak Cliff with redevelopment and refurbishment. And I would ask that you not do this to them and give us time to reevaluate and add input to this. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Mayor, City Council, Phil Crone, represent the Home Builders Association of Greater Dallas. Office is 5816 West Plano Parkway up in Plano. We're a 1,200-member organization, many of which are builders and remodelers that are active here in the City of Dallas, and really appreciate, Mr. Mayor, what you said earlier with the fact that you see a lot of groups that are here today. We represent various sectors of the construction development industry. While the specific solutions that we're going to come up with and that we'd like the opportunity to be a part of are going to vary from builders to remodelers to developers, we want the opportunity to sit down at the table. Our original concern is that we had not been given that opportunity. While we had been apprised of the fees, we had not had the opportunity to come up with some solutions. We believe those solutions need to be comprehensive, and again, they're going to be variable, but we're all here. We're all wanting to be a part of the solution going forward. We all share the common denominator that at the end of the day, we're going to have to pay the fees, and we appreciate the opportunity to work with staff and appreciate the professionalism and the willingness to work with us going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Council members. My name is Jeff Dworkin with JLD Custom Homes. I also represent the Home Builders Association of Greater Dallas. We all realize that services have been negatively impacted over the past few years with the reductions that have gone on in the Building Inspection Department. But in the same manner, we still think that our Building Inspection Department, as well as our Building Department, is still one of the best in the Metroplex. We do get complaints quite a bit from our membership, but when we take those up with the administration in the Building Inspection Department, they're typically handled on a very timely basis. Is there ways to do things better? Absolutely. And we want to help in preparing and going forward with the budget and these fees. We've met with the department. We have gone over some of the proposed fees, but we also have some other ideas that we think would work better. One example is, quite frankly, it's very easy, we think. Right now, the Greenbelt Department has been dismantled due to budgetary constraints. I think there was some federal money that was used originally to put that into place. Right now, we have third-party energy inspections done on our homes. Third-party inspectors have to come in and inspect the homes. Most of those third-party inspectors could also do the Greenbelt inspections that are now going to be required of your building inspectors. Okay, since the department's gone, it's now gone to the building inspectors. Well, why not let the third parties do it? We're already paying for those guys to be out there. So why pay for your inspectors to come back out and do those inspections? That's just one of many examples that we have that we can give input on to Teresa and her staff. I'd also like to say that it's now the right time to be doing this. Look at the building permits. We're about 25% of where we were in the peak in 06 and 07, and our membership really does not want to see fee increases across the board. Thank you for your time.
Good afternoon, Mayor. I'm Frank Michalopoulos, 4645 North Central Expressway, and I'm here in, as a board member and Governor Fairmaz of TREC, and also to express my concern and having the, as we discussed, the budget amendments to remove the permits at this time. We're not here not to pay the permit fees, not to pay the fees as a whole, because we are paying it. As an owner of property and as a developer over the last years, I have paid thousands of dollars, and you've seen me here in cases for getting a simple building permit. So we are hiring outside consultants, putting that money into the system, but not giving it to the city. So I think it's a way of, let's clean up the system, let's get together with the city and see how it needs to be corrected and help the per inspectors and the people that are reviewing these. They're overworked, they're afraid to make any decisions, they're afraid of their jobs. They're going to get cut if they make a decision, and it's taking 5 to 6 months on the average right now to get a new building permit. There is no express process because not all the departments are agreeing to express building permit. So you can get an express review from one side of the city, a mechanical, electric, but you're not going to get it from public works. So we're having a mixed signal out here, so we're here to help. We're not here not to pay the fees because we are paying these. So thank you for your time.
I appreciate that. I think we're also aware that within that department, it's kind of a cost-contained area. So that to the extent we have different metrics that have costs. Those costs are going to get passed on. So all of the different parties being part of a process to identify what those are, and not only the process, but what the costs are that go into them, I think is going to be helpful to everybody.
Mr. Mayor, Catherine Steele, 5503 Meledio Lane, members of the City Council, Mayor. I'm here today representing Preservation Dallas for the city's nonprofit organization for historic preservation. They have approximately 1,200 members. There are approximately 11,000 historic and conservation district owners. And we're here respectfully asking you to make an amendment to remove the proposed fees from the budget. Preservation Dallas has not been included in the discussions regarding these proposed fees, and we only learned Friday afternoon that these may or may not be part of the budget. And so we'd just like to reach out, offer our support. We'd like to be a part of the process and be brought into the fold so that we can kind of come to an agreeable solution. Thank you for your time.
Hi, I'm Jack Corgan. I'm here as a citizen volunteer. My wife, Carol, and I have been advocates for the City of Dallas and the Dallas Independent School District for many years, almost 40. Back with the Dallas schools as chairman of volunteers for the 85 bond election that passed. Worked with Walt Heumann on getting the DART rail system in place. Later was your chairman of the Dallas plan in 1998 and 1999. I only bring those things up because so many times I've been on the side for the city for raising taxes. This time I'm here for a different reason. As an individual, and thinking about the competitiveness of Dallas, it's really important that we not raise taxes. I'm not here to ask that the tax rate be lowered. I think it's just very important that we not raise it. Good companies, big and small, and individuals with enormous talents on both coasts are looking at their places that they live and thinking about Dallas. If we raise taxes now, no matter how small, it'll send just the wrong kind of message. You can't overtake that with marketing. It's really the substance of the city. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Neil Emmons. I live at 2525 Turtle Creek, and I'm here today representing myself. As I listened to the discussions leading up to this and I thought about this issue, I have great empathy for every one of you council members who somehow, being the lowest paid people in the room, with no independent legislative research staff who answers only to you, sift through all of this information and figure out what in the heck is going on. So you're to be commended, and I look forward to someday, it won't be in your tenures, that this body is paid what it should be and has an independent legislative staff. Obviously, I'm here because I believe these fee increases are ill-advised in the current recession. But specifically, historic district property owners are some of our most dedicated citizens who have voluntarily bought into more stringent zoning rules to create districts that consistently, with all else being equal, generate a higher tax base. All citizens deserve the highest level of respect and cooperation from City Hall. And I was very sad to read in the newspaper report one of our staff members with the City of Dallas referring to historic district property owners as free riders. I can't think of anything more disrespectful, and that's very sad. And I would hope we could engender a better spirit of cooperation among all groups. And obviously today we see that residential and business interests are on the same page. We all need each other to make this the great city that it is in the future as it has been in the past. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I'm Judy Smith-Hurst with the Friends of St. Thomas, the president for the St. Thomas Historic District, and basically they've said what we feel in the Historic District, that at this time it's not a good idea to impose more fees on people who are working very hard to keep their houses and keep things in shape, and we are trying to encourage people to apply for these permits through the system, and you're putting sort of a burden upon them by adding these extra fees. If you could please put this off and let us understand this better and work with you on it, we'd appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035 East Ladbetter, Apartment 401. On this tax increase, I think we shouldn't use our taxes to lure companies from other states here, because those people, those states need jobs too. And we wouldn't do that. We're supposed to build on our own stuff to create jobs, use our mind to create jobs, to help build our own city up without trying to lure people. That's just robbing Peter to pay Paul. So I think we should, if it was a tax increase, that'd be because we really need it, and we have cut to the bone as far as we can cut. It's not to lure other companies to Dallas. They should come on their own.
Trina Trish, Dallas City. I'll read what Thomas Jefferson said. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. I'm for a government rigorously frugal and simple. He also said, all tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for people of good conscience to remain silent. I'm very grateful today that many people came out and were not silent. This is still a government for the people and by the people. And the order of government is from the bottom up. We the people. And we the people came out and we said, let's cut government waste instead of raising taxes. Let's look over budgets. Let's work together. Let's come to the table. Because this is still a government of we the people. I think the people have spoken, both businesses and citizens alike, that we all would like to work together to build this city and make this city, as well as this nation, what it should be, a bright star. Thank you.
Anyone else?
My name is Tamara Washington. I live at 2814 Tainted Trail, Dallas, Texas, 75237, and I'm just here to state that I didn't finish my statement the last time I was here. Basically, I just said that, you know, everybody can look at the last time, but I didn't the last time I was here. Anyway, basically, balancing the budget, let me give you an example. I got a card offer from Chase, and it says to, if you have a business, which I have a business, then you can basically have your employees report to you and see their finances. So this is just a suggestion on my part to have the council members refer to you, their budgets to you, so you can help keep track of how the spending is going. So, I also, when I called in, I said I was going to say something about the structure that's being built, and maybe it's just in the beginning stages, but maybe it's going to look a lot better, hopefully. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Appreciate everybody coming down today. Thank you very much. Ms. Davis, please.
Yes, thank you.
It's ACN, please. Sustainable growth, I guess, presentation. This presentation was going to be made when?
The presentation that, the copy of which I gave you this morning was presented to the ECO committee, I guess about a month or so ago.
Okay, so they approved this to move forward?
I believe we did get a favorable recommendation from the committee to move that forward, yes.
So everybody didn't support it, some did and others didn't?
There were questions that were at that hearing with regards to proposals for fee increases, and we've answered the questions there. There was also representatives from the industry that were in the audience. They were asking questions directly at the committee as to their support, which they said they were supportive, and then I believe a vote was taken in recommendation to move forward.
Okay, this is my first time saying this.
Yes.
I have some heartburn on some of this, and it starts on page, I think, 14. And the fees are, these are not slightly small amounts. These are huge amounts on some of this that I'm looking at. And especially in the historical district, I have three historical districts. And, there's just some areas that they just couldn't afford. The other one that I saw, if it's an individual paint their house, they have to pay the city $25 to come out and get approval on painting their house. I have problems with that. Have this been removed from...
There's nothing that has been removed from that briefing. That was included in the budget presentation. Are the budget proposal that was submitted to the council. So there isn't anything that has been changed from those
that
were presented.
Okay. I hear what Amir is saying about some of this, but $600 for building inspection board fees to go before the Board of Adjustment. $600. The current minimum fee was zero. Then the proposed fee went to $600. That's extremely high.
The overall approach that was used in the proposal that was briefed to the committee was in part reaction to some of the budget issues that we're facing in trying to have appropriate staff to address all the different requests for service that we're getting, but also trying to keep in...
Where's the staffing for this?
Well, the staffing was included in the budget proposal, about 14 different positions, but was also trying to keep to the concept that the committee and I believe the council as a whole has talked about with regards to having charges or fees pay for the services that are being provided, particularly in these enterprise funds. And so while there's an increase that is there, that as you say...
I haven't talked about this.
Okay.
So it could be some other council members. The other one is the zoning research fee. It's $50 per hour. Mm-hmm. So if anyone wants to come in and have some research done on a zoning case, like myself, as a citizen, I would have to pay $50 an hour. That's just unheard of. I would not be supporting this. I do agree we might need to look at something. I will say that. But I think that we need to go back and do more research. I know that the mayor is talking about bringing in the real estate council. I think that Preservation Dallas also needs to be a part of this. Home Builders Association, who I've worked with in the past, needs to be a part of this. And some of the other organizations I hear who come here likely to be a part of the meeting that you're talking about to make some things happen. I just think that the fees are just extremely high on some of this. And so I think that we do need to go back to the table and take a look at this as well, because you have something here on page 22. It's $1,000 per hour. $1,000 per hour.
Yes, ma'am. On the, I believe it's on the express plan.
Oh, that's right. That is extremely high. So if you have more than one item, so if you had 50, so it's $50,000. If it's $1,000.
No.
Okay. If, then just give me an example.
Well, the example, and if I might, just to present, the $1,000 an hour is to represent the cost of bringing together a number of professional staff that can convene in a meeting at one time to address and answer questions of developers with regards to their project. In the past, when we have used this approach and have had those individuals all be in the same room, literally in the same room together.
It was $500.
Well, it was $500. It's $1,000. And again, the amount of just time that is...
Hey, see, okay. It's way, way too much.
Okay.
It's just way, way... You had your term minimum fee at $500, and now it's gone to $1,000 per hour. So if you spent for an hour, it's $1,000. If you spent for 2 hours, it's $2,000. If you have to spend more than that, it can go up as much as $5,000. Because you're talking about per hour. Okay. Okay. I just think that we just need to go back and just work on this some more. I think we need to involve more of those associations that's here. And I think that I need enough time to take this to my neighborhood, historical district, so they can look at this as well and give some type of input if they choose to. But I just think right now that this is just way, way too much. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Atkins, please.
A.C. Teresa. Is the item that was going to be part of the first reading, which we're discussing now, would that be in the second reading?
I was just asking the budget staff that question, because my understanding is all the amendments would be considered on Monday, but I don't
want to... I just want to... I know we're talking about... It's not here, but we're talking about something not in the first reading. It looked like
what
it's been deleted.
What was communicated to me was...
I can hear you.
What was communicated to me was on this particular piece, there'll be amendment on Monday that'll be submitted from the staff. And that was what my understanding
okay,
was. Okay. Or amendment that'll be put in with the grouping of amendments.
Pardon?
We are preparing an amendment for, I believe, with a council member that might want to sponsor that to go ahead and make that motion.
So you're preparing that now?
We're preparing an amendment that somebody could make that would remove that particular part of the budget proposal.
And when you prepare that, is staff preparing that? The developer is part of that negotiation of what to bring it back for the second reading?
No, what we're in essence doing is just preparing the amendment that removes the reference to any of the permit fee increases and also removes the staffing positions that we're planning to add in anticipation of revenue that would be received. And so we're preparing that budget amendment so that if the council chooses to approve that, then it would be removed from the budget.
And then the second piece of that then would be the group that would literally look at the processes, set the standards, analyze it on a comparative basis, set metrics and those sorts of things, that then would go back in and, depending on what came out of that, consider something in at some point in the future that may or may not address this.
Okay. Would that put an impact on Teresa Dunn's staff? Because you are talking about numbers with fees, and we're talking about increase or decrease our staff. So would that change her budget because you don't know what fees you're going to be at, what rate you will be at? So that would be an impact in her budget and her staff. And my concern is that, you know, we got developers out there talking about express permits, and it takes so long to get them through the CPC. With zoning and permits, how would that affect? I guess that would still have to come through Mary to set a budget up so you know what the fee's going to be and how they're going to affect her department.
Right. The increase that was part of the budget that was briefed in part, was briefed in whole to the committee had a estimate on how much revenue that was going to project. That fee being taken out would have the impact in two ways. One is the impact of not being able to add roughly around 14 positions that we were looking, but also to address some of the positions that we currently have that are not being afforded by revenues that we estimate without that fee increase. So we might have, we're going to have this tied down next week, but we're looking at around 10 positions that would have to be held and not filled in this with our current staffing levels. So the impact of that fee being taken off the table will have the impact on new personnel as well as existing.
Right. So therefore, you said to just to hold 10 employees, but doing the ECO, and my understanding is that we need to add more employees to that department because we cannot get the permit out fast enough. And that's a problem. It's new business coming to town. Regardless of new business coming here, you ain't be able to pull the permit. And that's a serious deal. And I hear that we want to bring business to the city. But how can you bring business to the city? You don't have the staff to produce the permit on a timely like amount.
I'm not sure that was a question, but yes, that's
well, it was a question and answer.
Yes.
So, I guess, Teresa, when you come, so therefore, you're going to work on this budget and do what you're going to do and find out on Monday, you're going to bring this back to us on Monday. When will we get a copy of this changes for the second reading? When is the second reading, Mary?
The 22nd, isn't it? Pardon?
September 22nd.
So next week we can look at it, but is it scheduled for the 22nd already? I know we check it out. Is it scheduled for the 22nd?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it scheduled for the 22nd? Okay.
Right. That's the day.
The second reading is scheduled for the 22nd. Yes.
I mean, but this particular fee, you know.
Is it in that
package
budget right now? Yes.
Right, so therefore, you know, we got to do the second reading, but it's scheduled for the 22nd. So it's not been deleted, but it's going to be in that reading for the 22nd.
We will make a determination as we go forward with the amendment process what we want to do about this particular issue, and that will be part of your amendment process on the 22nd. I mean, on the 13th.
On the 13th, on Monday.
And then on the 13th, whatever changes you make, that will show up in what you vote on this on the 22nd.
Thank you very much.
Then we also have the option on the 16th. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Appreciate it. Ms. Hotel, please.
I just want to thank all the groups that came down to talk about this issue. We've been going, I've been reading all the emails you sent me. We've had a lot of people in the conservation area and in North Oak Cliff and the other parts of Oak Cliff. And as I said before, we stand poised on our side of town to have some development come this year for a change to our area, and these fees would definitely affect any new development to the Oak Cliff area. So I will be supporting the amendment, if not signing it and making sure that it happens. But I do believe that we all need to be at the table to make sure that we hear from not only the preservationists, the conservationists, the Home Builders Association, TREC, the chambers, all of those views have to be at the table. There is no question that that department that services fees and permits and building inspection, there is no question that it is broken. And we have to take this opportunity to fix it and to fix it with the point of view from everybody. As I said to AC and Teresa earlier this week, that department is our front line to revenue. Anybody that wants to build in Dallas has to go through the building inspection or the building fees area. That is our front line to revenue for this city, and we should be paying a lot of attention to it. We should be doing the best that we can in that department. And if that includes finding somehow to pay for additional people so that our builders and the people that want to do development, especially in the Oak Cliff area, find an easy way to do it, because again, that is the front line to revenue for the city. So I thank you for coming down. I thank you for voicing your opinion and giving us the opportunity to make this right. Thank you.
Appreciate those comments. Good one. Mr. Stoudemire, please.
Thank you, Mayor. let me thank everybody for coming down here. I think it's important that we do have our partners, I think, you know, Trek and the Real Estate Council, the apartment associations, our chambers should definitely be at the tables when we're discussing changes in fees and how to utilize them, because I think certainly we are not experts in any of those industries, but certainly we are the ones empowered to set the ordinances that control them. So this is something that I think we've done in the past, we're going to continue to do. Bob, I just want to say, your hair is darker now than when I started in 95, Bob. So I'm looking forward to my hair getting darker too next year around this time. Working this budget, let me tell you that it's difficult in the sense that we all know what needs to be done in the city. We just have different ways of getting there. I think what we're trying to do is try to balance out, you know, where you have a raise here but and a cut here. And I think overwhelmingly what we've heard from many citizens is that when it comes to cuts, they want to maintain the basic core services. You know, keep the parks clean, keep them open, keep the rec centers open, have staff that is there at the recreation centers to be able to do the programming that the kids need or the adults need or people with special needs require. Meet the mandate that people voted for us to do, which is to maintain the streets. You know, we all have, you know, our stories about how our streets are in our areas. You know, people just want the basic services, and that's what we're hoping to do on the 22nd when we have the second reading, is address those basic services. I said last week, and I'll keep saying it, even if people have different ways to do things, this is the opportunity that we're able to work together, whether they vote for or against any of the propositions. At the end of the day, the budget's going to get done. It'll be balanced. Our manager will have done a good job. I think the mayor's doing a good job in working to obtain other types of funding. But at the end of the day, we have to present a balanced budget. So I just want to thank everyone who's coming down here to participate, and I hope that when you come down here that you feel that you not only were you heard, but some of the suggestions were considered and will be acted on by this council. Thank you.
Appreciate the comments, Mr. Zeller. Thank you. Mr. Hoover, please.
Thank you, Mayor. AC and Teresa, I very sincerely, you don't need to come up, guys. I'll just speak to you a minute. I very much appreciate your efforts. Clearly, during some of the briefings that the council heard that you and Teresa brought, he feels alone up there, Teresa. That's fine. It was telling to me that, and I was pleased that you responded to the business community's needs as it relates to more staff that would deal with their needs to be able to get permitting and inspections on a more timely basis. So I applaud you for that. If indeed the council votes, which it sounds like that's the sentiment where we're going, to put that off, I would implore the manager to not put it off a year. In business, in the business world, in the for-profit sector, when we need to change our business model in order to meet a customer's needs, we don't wait for the next fiscal year. We implement it when we've got the procedures in place, when we think we have the customer's buy-in. So I would encourage the manager, I would encourage you all, if you need to retool components of this plan in order to meet the customer's needs, the developer's community at all, that you come back in short order, not long order. Now, I understand that it creates issues about the budget cycle and that sort of thing, but part of what we as a city have to be is responsive enough that we meet the needs and not bureaucratic enough that we don't do something just because we haven't done it before. So I encourage this. If we if we put this back for additional feedback, we don't shelve it. Because the temptation is to shelve it. Teresa, and you spent 6 months on it, you got this, that, and the other, and then it didn't come to being. Well, I understand the frustration, that sort of thing. Bring it back to us through the committee system or otherwise so that we can meet the need. Now, as it relates to the fees that were associated with historic conservation districts and other things, one of my feedbacks to you and Teresa was the number of fees that went from zero to a fee. There were 22, if I believe, 22 items, categories that went from a zero fee to some fee amount. That was of grave concern to mine because citizens and homeowners and neighborhood groups that used to get a fee, get something done for nothing, don't necessarily understand why all of a sudden there is a fee. I would advocate that maybe some of the fees proposed were higher than they should be, but part of what we've got to do is make sure we educate the people that we're providing that service to what the value is so that they can rationalize that, whether it's for a CA fee or whether it's a demolition fee or a conservation district or a historic district fee, those sort of things. Because the building inspection area has to be a cost recovery environment. It has to be zero cost recovery, correct? Now you can answer that question.
Yes, that's what we have the understanding.
I understand that, but obviously we didn't sell it well enough because in the end what matters is what citizens and the business community that are paying the fees are saying, yes, that's a good deal. So when we bring this back, we got to do a better job, myself included, better job of saying why this is what we need to do and a transition to achieve that. So, because I still believe it's the right thing. I do believe that building inspection needs to be staffed up to meet the need. We need to take care of the historic district that Ms. Hosto and I, she and I share borders in Oak Cliff because we want to take care of those. We want to cherish them, but nothing's free. So we have to find a balance. Thank you, AC. Thank you. So Mary, is there? Thank you, AC. Can this come back outside of the budget cycle?
We're going to do everything we can to get it back because I have grave concerns about taking it out of the budget cycle because we won't be able to staff up for what I think is going to be a really critical need.
Okay.
So we're going to work to get everybody on the same page as quickly as we can and bring it back to you because, again, I'm concerned about how we're going to meet the need without the additional staff.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
And I think, as you pointed out, Mr. Newman, too, by getting everybody at the table, go through it, everybody will understand the cost because this department, it isn't designed to subsidize other departments. Likewise, other departments aren't designed to subsidize it. It's supposed to be a zero sum.
And quite honestly, again, we all collectively need to do a better job of communicating that so that neighborhood organizations and neighbors and property owners and the business community understand that zero-sum game. It's not, we don't want to pit anyone against each other, but we want to make sure that we deliver and meet their expectations. So, anyway,
have the metrics and standards that we can evaluate ourselves to.
I understand. I'm encouraged that this is not necessarily going to be a one-year delay.
No.
That's very good. That's very good news. And thank you all for coming down here, whether it be for neighborhood interest or for the business community. That's a good thing that it won't be put off a year. So thank you.
Mr. Kelly, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Can someone identify to me the boundaries of Oak Cliff?
Yes, I really want to know.
No,
I'd like to know.
Bob, he's good.
Councilman Carraway, Oak Cliff is a state of mind.
State of mind.
Well, you know, I want to say just a couple things. Where, you know, we always talk about Oak Cliff and the Oak Cliff Chamber, and I support it wholeheartedly. I want Oak Cliff. As I sit here and we talk about Bishop Arts and North Oak Cliff and Oak Cliff, but we say Oak Cliff, I would be remiss if I did not take this time to ask that we enjoin all of Oak Cliff with these meetings and these efforts. Because on the east side of 35, we don't have this type of embracement of Oak Cliff, but we too are Oak Cliff. The Lancaster Corridor and the areas of South Oak Cliff High School and Roosevelt and
and to see the Crest Golf Course and the other areas of Oak Cliff, we too ought to be mentioned in a part of these meetings. I just wanted to say that. I'm not going to douse water on this fire, but I want to have a more inclusionary involvement with all of Oak Cliff, so that all of Oak Cliff, and not just North Oak Cliff, feels a part of the movement. The people east of 35 feel left out when it comes to decisions and planning and development and opportunities as relate to Oak Cliff. It's as though that Oak Cliff stops at 35 and does not cross on the other side of the freeway. I just want to take this moment to suggest that, because everything that we vote on here, and Bob, I'm saying it to you because, number one, you're the Oak Cliff Chamber, and we want the Oak Cliff Chamber, we would love for the Oak Cliff Chamber to embrace us on the other side, if you understand what I'm saying. We will always continue to support any effort, the trolley cars, the street cars that are coming, the great things at Bishop Arts, the things at Fort Worth Avenue, but we need to embrace the efforts that we have going in the Lancaster Corridor, South Oak Cliff, Marcellus, and develop that so that we can all be that Oak Cliff. And then we do have the Wynnewood, the northern portion of it, and the South Oak Cliff portion of it. And if I don't say it, then they won't get the message. So we need some inclusionary there. Now, with that being said, with these fees and things that we're talking about, the building, as Ms. Hosso said, we're the front line. And when folks first come, they come to on Jefferson. And that building itself on Jefferson, the building that the developers come into on Jefferson, that building has not had work in I can't tell you how long. So even our own building needs a shot in the arm, and that's what I wanted to say as well, to embrace the fact that when the developers come, not only do we need to be cognizant of the fees, the treatments, and all of the different things that are going, but the presentation of our city to the developers, because when they come in there, they'll see things and they can get excited and say, well, I just feel good today, so I want to go and do some additional stuff. But if they don't feel good, then we won't get that reaction. So my comment was to Ms. Hosso to say and suggest that let's also take a look at our building. It is our facility, and we cannot expect for people to come in and build quality projects if indeed our own presentation is not there. And that is not the only building. We have our courthouse. We have other things. We only have a minimal amount of money to do it. But I do want to continue to be business friendly and welcome our developers and make sure we control the fees as best we can and do it in a fair and equitable manner. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Morgan, please.
Thank you, Mayor. First to the City Manager, Mary, I'm very encouraged that you want to see this move forward and that you don't think it needs to wait until the next budget year. I think that's excellent.
I think it would be horrible if it ended up waiting until the next budget year.
Okay, that's great. To the real estate community, I would strongly recommend that you put together a task force that represents all of the parties that you think need to be there. So down the line, we can't look up and say so-and-so wasn't represented. Make sure that everyone's represented who needs to be represented, and that you understand that no matter what happens and what the discussion is about, when we're only adding back, say, 14, 15 people, you're probably not going to be able to get back to where you might like to be. But nonetheless, that doesn't mean we can't have benchmarks. I think the staff is very committed. You seem very committed. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing some results because, as Ms. Hosso said, this is absolutely critical to the city. This is critical to our economic development that this be taken care of. It really is. So I encourage everybody. Thank you.
Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you. Let me say this. This must be an opportunity in communities. If you have historical community, you have
preservation district, they must know what's going on. And so Mary should at least give them the opportunity. Mary, I need to take this back to my three historical districts. I have to take this back.
I understand that.
Okay.
It just can't take a year.
Absolutely. Now, I have read over this, and I have a problem with some of it, not all of it. From going from zero to $50 per hour on page 19. So, Mary, can you write these pages down? I have a problem with page 19.
Yeah, we haven't.
Okay. And I have a problem with page 21. Down in the historical district, it's at 10%. So some of those historical districts and cannot afford to pay it. I have a problem with 22. I have a problem with page 23. And so as we work through this, I'm hoping that we can come up with something that can work for everybody. Everybody. In my historical district, South Boulevard Historical Park Low, I got 25 calls on yesterday. And so, I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not against any of this. I just think that we first need to let our neighbors know what's going on. If our mayor is going to pull a task force together, let it be a number of people so we can all talk about this, and let it be some neighborhood people. Why can't it be some of the neighborhood people who live in some of those historical districts? So, and so it can be balanced. And so they themselves would take the message back as well. So it might just be the neighborhood presidents from those districts that can also sit on this task force that you're pulling together. That's all I'm saying. So yeah. I'll be willing to work with you on this. I'm not against this. I'm just saying we just need to tweak some things.
And I personally haven't said that. And I think the way the conversations evolve is there's actually two pieces of this. There's one piece that deals largely with the planning, the zoning, and the permitting process, and then a second piece that will deal with the conservation district. So there may very well be two different groups.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Coop, please.
Discussion is getting intermixed.
Right. There's two different pieces that we've got here, and they're going to have to be handled independently.
When that group does meet, I would suggest that staff also be able to present to the groups and best practices from other large cities, very large cities, outside the state of Texas. Perhaps sometimes we look at the state of Texas within ourselves, and we've all kind of reviewed those policies as informally as a state. So I would look outside the state as well to see what best practices are there. I appreciate the Home Builders Association, the Real Estate Council, so on and so forth, coming down today. And it seems like sometimes we go through these issues and we get differing opinions from staff that's worked on it and from the development community. So I would ask you, so there is no confusion, give us a list of people who are on the committee.
Okay.
And what groups they represent. We really do need to know that, because we can't really tell who was at the table and who wasn't unless we have those lists and unless the staff gives us those lists. Okay, and then we can sort of analyze it and say, well, I think this group was left out or this group wasn't left out. And also the continuation of the bifurcation of the historic issue, I think, would be helpful, because you'll probably want to know what groups are involved in that. Just separate them for us.
Agreed. And I think your point, the comparability of other cities, other large cities outside of our
right.
area.
I mean, I've heard varying degrees of, you know, would this be a good idea to do some of it, outsource some of it, and I've heard varying degrees of opinions on that, from absolutely no way to maybe that's an idea. Well, if some cities have it and it hasn't worked, well, you know, just let us know that so we don't keep going around this tree several different times, you know, with each council member saying, I've got an idea, how about this, you know, when it's already really pretty much been best practices has proved it out not to be applicable in our situation. And it probably would be a good idea if you evaluate those cities, perhaps those cities that do not have strong mayor or have a council manager form of government, because I think those cities, and Mary probably could point them to us, we're going to have a different kind of analysis of what they need. Chicago would not probably be a good best practices simply because they have a strong mayor system of government. Probably the whole government runs a different way. But, you know, maybe San Antonio might be a good model, even though that's in the state of Texas. So those are the kinds of things I've kind of heard.
Fair enough. Why don't we get both a cut of individuals, and maybe it starts with organizations, the organizations will supply the individuals, but also then a cover on kind of what the charter, the mission of each of the two groups are. And we'll get that out, and then people can take our sharp red pencils.
Yeah, okay.
Fair enough. Mr. Cadane, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Mary, when you say this must stay in the budget, if we take it out and bring it back, why does it have to come back as a budget item? Why can't it come back as a fee? Just a fee increase.
Well, you approve any fees, so it'll have to come back to you for approval.
If we say that again?
The council approves fees, and so
yeah.
It'll have to be brought back as an approval of a fee. You also would authorize us to hire people based on the revenues in that fee.
Okay, but that would be done prior to anything being done?
No, sir.
No, it'd be done then.
What we'll have is the group get together. We hope we can come to consensus pretty quickly.
Well, that's not going to, it won't affect our current budget then, what we come up with now.
Well, right now,
pulling it out.
Right now, these fees and these staff people supported by the fees are in the budget. What I'm hearing is we don't want them in there.
That's correct.
They will be taken out.
That's
right. And then you will have a conversation with the group about how we want to proceed. My concern is that without the staff, we are not going to be able to meet the service requirements of the community that wants to be involved in construction, which is, of course, our tax base. So I want to get this resolved as quickly as we can.
Yeah, so are we going to get them now, or are we going to wait till we get this resolved?
My instruction appeared that it was going to be out of the budget, get it resolved, and we come back to you for approval of fees and hiring.
Well, we're going to have these guys anyway.
Yes.
We're going to have them regardless.
Yes, you are. Absolutely.
Now, we're talking also about residential as well as commercial here?
Yes, sir.
So they'll be involved in this, correct?
Yes.
And with the talks?
Yes.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure of that. Okay, that's all I need.
Yeah, and I think that kind of the two groups, again, the first one is kind of the planning, the zoning, and the permitting piece. And that could be both commercial and residential type
property. Okay.
But then there's a separate distinct one that deals with the conservation districts, et cetera, those pieces, because those will be handled in different ways. So I think we've evolved, as I mentioned, to two different groups that will focus on those.
That's great. That's what I wanted to hear. Just thank everybody for being here.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you very much. We have item 22. This is a formality. It means simply the publishing, as was mentioned a number of different times. Through the course of the next week, the 13th is scheduled. If we finish that, then the amendments will lead to the 22nd. We also have the 15th on the schedule. But we need a motion in regard to addendum item number 1. Moved. We'll distribute it. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, could we go to addendum item number 6, and then we'll go on to the zoning.
Addendum item number 6 is to authorize a public hearing to be held on September 22, 2010, to receive comments concerning the creation of City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone number 74, located at 4525 Joseph Harden Drive, Dallas, Texas, and at the close of the hearing, consideration of number 1, an ordinance creating the City of Dallas Reinvestment Zone number 74, number 2, a 60% business personal property tax abatement for 5 years with Consolidated Container Company and Wayne Garden Realty Investors, and number 3, a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to the Public-Private Partnership Program. This does require 2 seconds.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. This was an item briefed at Economic Development. I met with the particular business. They're actually coming back to Dallas, and so this is a positive thing for them to return, and with jobs and an investment. And so I'm supportive of this, and I think it's a shot in the arm for Oak Cliff. So I move approval. Oak Cliff. I said this is a shot in the arm for Oak Cliff. I said Oak Cliff. I didn't say Oak Cliff.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. We have a motion and two seconds. The seconds were by Ms. Coop, Mr. Nadinsky, and Ms. Medrano. With that, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. We'll now go on. We've only got one on the consent item, so we'll just take all of them individually. 49, please.
Item number 49 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-7.5A single-family district uses on property zoned and R-7.5A single-family district located on the northeast corner of South Ravinia Drive and Wright Street. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Hossel, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and move approval.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 50 with 2 seconds.
Which one?
55-0.
Item number 50 is a public hearing regarding an application for a specific use permit for an alcoholic beverage establishment use for a bar, lounge, or tavern on property zoned a CS Commercial Service District on the north side of Lombardi Lane between Abernathy Avenue and Brockbank Drive.
Mr. Mayor, within 15 notices, the property owners within 200 feet of the area request received one reply in favor and 4 replies in opposition. Due to denial by the City Planning Commission, it will require favorable vote of 3/4 City Council to approve. In addition, as noted, this is a designated zoning case.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Any speakers in opposition to deny the item? You'll be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Pamela Craig. I'm at 1720 Regal Row. I am in favor for you to pass and approve on this SUP request. I have documents here that I'd like to pass out to the council members of issues that were being addressed, the concerns of the citizens in the area. And these are concerns that we are addressing, and we would like to have all the council members receive. We know a lot of the concerns has been the crime in the area. I believe with any location, crime can be cleaned up by people making the difference in a neighborhood, and it, sometimes it does start with businesses. And even though some of these businesses are alcohol-related, does not mean that they're bad people. There are a lot of good people out there. And this gentleman has run a location before, has run a bar before, and has never had any problems with the city or with police. He's had a good record with the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, and I'd like to move that y'all do approve this this location for an SUP.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny?
Hello, good afternoon. My name is David Luna, and I'm the actual applicant in this case. And all I want to say is that, you know, my resident said, I owned a business before and I never had a problem. And I think, you know, I should give him the chance to prove it once again that I want to make a change in that neighborhood, which is District 6. And hopefully, you know, we can move forward with this. Thank you.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035, East Lesbetter, former Paul Woods. I think it should add this tavern because it's Oakland when we went out a lot anyway, then we went all over anyway. Oh yeah, I got to tell you. You know, Spirit Zilla just stepped in and blocked him on it stem cell research. That's baby eggs, baby human eggs working with taking baby human eggs and experimenting on them. Spirit Zilla just stepped in and stopped the use of it until further notice. So that's what's a break. I've been trying to get that done for years. I think it's due to being on the city council and seeing being four people on TV. Hello, everybody on TV, man. God bless you.
Hi, my name is David Preston. I'm an officer of Century Lombardi LLC, which is the owner of the property, and we're in full support of the approval of the SUP for Mr. Luna's business. And I'd like to let you guys know that I will be involved in ensuring that the tenant, Mr. Luna, will abide by all his lease terms and make sure that there's no illegal activities on the premises. And I'll also provide the private security and the Dallas Police Department with my own personal cell phone number in the event that there are a lot of irregular activities at the premises. I do believe that with Mr. Luna's business plan, it's going to be a good place of enjoyment and entertainment for the community.
Thank you.
Any other speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny?
My name is Roxanne Staff, and my residential address in Dallas is 6964 Tokelon. My business address is 2707 West Northwest Highway. I'm here in my capacity as president of the Bachman Neighborhood Association. We appeared before the CPC and urged the Plan Commission to deny this. It was unanimous. One of the Plan Commissioners said they had never seen a letter from the police so strong to deny this particular permit. And I have to tell you, this is in between Salazar Elementary School and Medrano Middle School. This is a pathway for children to and from school. I have a hard time understanding how it ever got a recommendation of approval by staff, because this neighborhood is saturated with alcohol beverage establishments. And an SUP requires that the applicant show how it's going to enhance the neighborhood, promote the general welfare, health, and safety of the community. And it isn't going to happen in this neighborhood with another alcohol beverage establishment. I urge you to support the City Plan Commission's recommendation of denial. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor. I've been at several meetings in the neighborhood since the application came to the council. I did talk to the officers that patrol the area, and I also talked to Chief Aziz at one of the neighborhood meetings. It was a crime watch. There's been a lot of concern in this neighborhood, not only from legal but also illegal or non-conforming types of pool halls in the area. And while I don't know Mr. Luna very well, I'm sure he's a good person. The issue is the area has been stated is saturated with a lot of alcohol establishments. This property does have a very successful restaurant in the front. But the problem has always been the bar in the back. I think the letter from Chief Aziz spells it out, 573 calls to police since 2001, 170 documented reports since 2001. I talked to some of the business owners in that area, and a lot of other things that aren't on here have been occurring in the past. So with that, I'm going to move to support the CPC recommendation of denial at this time and close the public hearing.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, 51, please, 5-1.
Item number 51 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 6 to amend the fiscal year 2008-2013 consolidated plan for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development funds to incorporate additional city priority needs and resources, including number 1, the production, acquisition, or rehabilitation of rental units for low and moderate income renters, number 2, microloans for the establishment, stabilization, and expansion of microenterprises, and number 3, up to $75 million in Section 108 funds as potential resources to address identified needs. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on item number 51? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much.
Can I get a motion on this one? Ms. Hill, thank you. Ms. Salazar, thank you for the second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So order. 52, please.
Item number 52 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by LIT-ENVP Limited Partnership located near the intersection of Page Mill Road and Stillman Street and adjacent street right-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to LIT-ENVP Limited Partnership. Are there any individuals? I'm sorry. There's a statement that state law requires I read into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would you please identify yourself for the record, sir?
Yes, my name is Richard Barnell. I'm the professional geoscientist for this application. I'm employed by Cook Joyce Incorporated. We're located at 812 West 11th Street, Austin, Texas.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Howell, please.
Move to close public hearing and follow a staff recommendation.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. 53, please.
Item number 53 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by National Metal Finishing Partnership located near the intersection of Barge Lane and Singleton Boulevard and adjacent street rights-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to National Metal Finishing Partnership. State law requires I read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Sure. My name is Kimberly Buckley, and I'm the professional geoscientist on record for this application. I'm also accompanied today by Representative Mr. Hal Smith with National Metal Finishing Partnership.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll move to follow the PPC staff recommendation and approve the item.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Item 54, please. 5-4.
Item number 54 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Preston Trail Plaza Limited, located near the intersection of Preston and Campbell Roads, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Preston Trail Plaza Limited. State law requires I read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would you please identify yourself for the record?
Mayor, council members, my name is Scott Deathers with Tam Boggs. We represent Preston Trail Plaza LTD, which is a Henry S. Miller entity. We have today Frank Clark with WM Environmental.
My name is Frank Clark. I'm employed as a senior consultant with WM Environmental Group. Our address is 906 East 18th Street in Plano, and I'm a registered professional geoscientist representing the MSD applicant.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Motion on this item, please.
Mr. Mayor.
Commissioner Dukey.
I'm just really pleased that we started a new industry in Dallas, the authorization of the MSD district. It's a subculture of our economic development. And with that, I would follow staff recommendation, close public hearing, and recommend this for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Appropriately, this is the last item today. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, I think with that, we go to our afternoon speakers.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, I believe we have item number 47 and 48,
of the board
appointment.
I apologize. Yes, please.
Item number 47 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. There are no nominees considered for appointment today. Item number 48 is authorize a contract for facility pavement repairs to the Northeast Transfer Station located at 7677 Fair Oaks Avenue, Southwest Transfer Station located at 4610 Westmoreland Road, and the McCollum's Bluff Landfill located at 5100 Youngblood Road. Master Construction and Engineering, Inc., lowest responsible bidder of three.
Ms. Atkinson.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. On to our speakers.
Thank you. We continue now with your speakers. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant at arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Your first speaker is Jewel Floyd, not present. Herschel Floyd, not present. Jackie Schaffner, not present. Rich Sheridan. Mr. Sheridan will be followed by your Zumba Lung and then Marvin Crenshaw.
Yes, good morning. My name is Rich Sheridan. Good afternoon. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Mayor and City Council. I'm here to relate an open letter to President George W. Bush on the occasion of the 9th anniversary of 9/11, and you will receive a copy of this, and I've appropriately edited it. President George Bush, dear President Bush, George. Thomas Paine, during the first American Revolution, said, "These are the times which try men's souls. Some say that I am a modern-day Paine. A pain in the you-know-what to some. I'm certainly not a perfect person. Ask some city council members. It's a long list. However, the length of the list of people who know me, know my heart, love me, it keeps me going. Concerning 9/11, I have spoken before on the subject and written on the subject. My objective is to help cause another 9/11 investigation which answers all of the so-called, of the so-so, many questions. Mr. Keating, the co-chair of the 9/11 Commission, stated that the U.S. government's 9/11 investigation was doomed to fail, and that may be kind words. The first domino to cause the unstoppable momentum towards the second 9/11 investigation is the disproving of the magic plane theory, just like the magic bullet theory and the lone gunman theory have been disproven. I'm a licensed professional engineer in New York, and I know that the towers and Building 7 were brought down by controlled demolition. When enough people realize that, a second legal and empowered, a constitutionally empowered grand jury will begin the new 9/11 investigation. Matthew 10:16-42 speaks volumes to me. It speaks of the persecution of those who would speak his word and follow his calling. It speaks of his coming again, not with peace, but with the sword of truth, and he would set father at variance against and variance at son. Against son, mother against daughter, and every conceivable family member versus every other family member. In other words, in the final days, there will be complete turmoil. I watched the great movie Braveheart a couple of nights ago, which is an historically accurate movie. I believe that this important time in your life, President Bush, as you summarize your legacy, it may speak directly to your heart. In the movie, there were four main characters, Scotsman William Wallace, the Braveheart, Scotsman Robert the Bruce, and his evil father, Robert, and the evil English King Longshanks. The Bruce first joined William Wallace in the fight to free Scotland from England, but wound up unknowingly betraying William the Braveheart because Robert was betrayed by his father. After witnessing the excruciating torture and dismemberment and execution of William Wallace in 1313, with his body parts spread throughout the four corners of England, and after confronting and condemning his evil father, Robert the Bruce, and the following year left Scotland.
Thank you very much. Freedom. Appreciate you being with us.
And God bless you, President Bush, and your family, and be safe during these very perilous times.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Azumba Lunt, not present. Marvin Crenshaw, not present. Tamara Washington, not present. William Hopkins, not present. Trina Trish. Trina Trish will be followed by Leslie Allen Davis, then Brandon P. Reed, and Gwen Wooten. Please state your name and address for the record.
Trina Trish, Dallas, Texas. The reason why I'm addressing the council again is on a law that was created, a no-sleeping law, in the city of Dallas or wherever it might be. I come to say that that law is not only discriminatory. Who sleeps in public? Not a person with a house. A person without a house. A homeless person. Not only that, but then the law says in Amendment 14, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property. That's the United States Constitution, and that's an amendment. How do you say you cannot sleep if you do not provide the resources for them to sleep? That's unconstitutional. As a matter of fact, I'm securing constitutional lawyers to take a look at this and see whether you can do it or not. Just like this morning, according to this agenda, it says open microphone speakers are to speak in the morning. There is nothing that says we're going to speak in the evening. I requested the evening, but because of this agenda, I walked in the rain. Yes, Mr. Leppard, the mayor, moved speakers around without any type of warning so that we can adjust our time. This afternoon, it's not raining as hard as it was this morning, and I was stuck here all day. This government cannot arbitrarily do what it wants to do, and everybody just sit down and pay attention. Again, when we don't speak up and speak out, then nothing has changed. I would still be probably drinking at a separate water fountain, sitting at the back of the bus, and other rights denied me if it wasn't for good people speaking up and speaking out at unjust laws. I would hope others will begin to speak up and speak out. Just because the top of government says something, it doesn't mean that it's right. And it doesn't mean that it should be questioned. That's how this nation was founded. Because good people spoke out about an unjust government. I thank God that yesterday I registered to vote. I'll be active in the election process.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you.
I would hate to be a governor. Who would lose?
Your next speaker is Leslie Allen Davis.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035. East Better Pump Forward. If I said this earlier, I said, I don't know if it was a federal judge. I heard it on KRLD. Hello, people in radio land and TV land. He said that he stepped in, he stopped the further research, the embryonic research that's taking babies after in the womb and a petri dish and experiment on when it can be brought to be a human being. That needs to be stopped all, and I'm against abortion. I said, I'm for all human life. You should have every baby to be born because God is going to put on the moon this wood and convert. And I wish somebody from Israel would come and get in touch with me that could show me what's going on over there, because I can't understand out of Hamas and the West Bank West Bank and the Gaza Strip, how they can occupy land in Israel and the land belongs to the Israeli people.
I need somebody to talk to me about it, because I want to help you as all I can. And I'm going to try to help me get a, I'm going to try to give me a part-time job, Mr. Caraway. So I can, I'm 7-11, but they won't hire me. And say I'll be talking to the women too much. And, they won't hire me. I worked at one time when I was over, I weighed 30 to 15 pounds. Oh yeah, please, people on the road and at home and Geese's cousins and everything, will y'all please pray for me that believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pray for me, I need prayer. The prayers of a righteous man avails much. They can pray for John Hagin, one of the most famous preachers in the South, where he said, the reason why he became a preacher, because people kept praying, his mother kept praying for him. So will you pray for me, so I become a better person, help the city become more stable, more flattened, solid, sound, and help these city councils in their decision making process. Cause I might not make a whole lot of mistakes, but if I keep trying, that's no fear about it. You always keep trying, if you can't tell me but the word I try, you don't do nothing. You just say the word I try, that means a whole lot to God. Cause life and death is in the power of the tongue. Because you can speak things in existence and be not those are. By you saying it to your tribe, it will be done one day. It might not be done in your lifetime, maybe your grandson. Maybe you're on crack cocaine or you're sick and got AIDS or something like that. Just say, I try to do the best I can. Don't give up. Give out, but don't give up. Oh, yeah. Oh, my birthday is about, my birthday is about 14 days from now. I still like to go to Israel with somebody.
Actually have a gift for you already.
I want to go to Israel.
Miss Hill.
Mr. Davis?
Yeah.
We are very grateful that you take the time to come and see us every Wednesday.
I try to.
Whether we're here or not. And last Wednesday, you indicated that you wanted to have your own name tag because you belong to me. We have facilitated that request, and we have for you your very own name tag, Leslie Allen Davis, District 5 resident. Keep it with you.
Thank you. God bless you. Pray for Leslie Allen Davis. If you're blind, pray for me.
Your next speaker is Brandon T. Reed, not present. Gwayne Wooten. No further speakers. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. 243, we're adjourned.